This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer Cleveland.com, and he works with us here at 92.3 The Fan. He's Chris Fedor.
Hey, Chris.
What's up, guys? If you hear announcements here at the airport about people needing to get to their gate and some stuff like that, just ignore it.
All right, you got it. Before we get to the Cavs, I've been told we must ask Fedor his opinion of this question. The least worst Browns head coach since they returned to the NFL in 1999.
The title's great, isn't it?
It's such a perfect way to phrase it.
The overall winner was Butch. My guy was Romeo, but Butch was second. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a toss-up between those two guys. But Romeo, I still can't get over Romeo when he was deciding between the quarterback. He was talking about flipping a coin to figure it out. And then he would have these great lines about if you take one pickle out of a jar, that loosens all the other pickles. And that's how I look at the offense and the defense as a whole. So I think from that standpoint, probably Romeo. But I think Butch was the best one that they had. Unfortunately, you know, he had some health issues that made it tough.
And the worst coach since the return?
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
That's no comparison.
Don't even bother. We're all
on the
worst
same. Head coach in NFL history.
We're all on the same page there. So how does a team that clearly has to play with energy come out 24 hours after winning a game and looking good with tons of energy and have no energy?
That was bad. That was really bad. And that's the thing about this team. For all of the stuff that you can say about how overmatched they are and how little talent they have compared to the other teams and how shorthanded they are playing without four or five rotation guys on some nights, the one constant for them is that they have been playing hard. They had been doing some of the little things that they had to do to make up for some of those deficiencies. And last night, the second night of a back-to-back, they simply did it. And that's the one thing that can't vary on a nightly basis for this group. And they know it. I talked to Tristan Thompson in the locker room last night after the game, and I said, is it fair to say that the next step in the growth process for you guys is making sure that you don't have these kinds of nights and making sure that you build positive momentum after you have a signature win on Tuesday night? And Tristan said, this one's not on anybody else in the locker room. It's on me. So I thought that was great leadership by Tristan. And I think, you know, he's the guy who brings the energy, right? He's the guy who sets the tone offensively and defensively. He's the heartbeat of the team. Him picking up three fouls or two fouls in 3 minutes, three fouls basically early on into the third quarter, like the Cavs can't have those kinds of things happen. And I think part of the reason why they didn't have that energy that they had on Tuesday, certainly against Charlotte, is because Tristan Thompson was sitting on the bench in foul trouble.
Yeah, but they still get beat by 25, and yes, he was in trouble and he shouldn't have gone that way. I heard Jim Chone say last night, I guess they called a second foul in the first 2 minutes, right? And he says referees shouldn't be doing that. No, if it's a foul, it's a foul.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad by Tristan. It was silly foul by Tristan. He tried to close out on Markieff Morris, who was shooting a fadeaway jumper from about 18, 20 feet, and he ran into him. Those are the things that he can't have, and I think it was a good step in his leadership to own it last night. Because
Chris,
big reason why they lost the game is because he was on the sidelines and he couldn't bring the things to their offense and defense that he needs to bring. He's, on this team, as bad as it sounds, he's irreplaceable.
All right, so what's the goal for this team at this point?
I think it's internal growth. And you can define that a lot of different ways, Les and Jeff. But if you have nights where you lose and you're competitive, I think there are guys in the locker room that are okay with that. I think there are people in the front office that are okay with that. The thing that they cannot have is 20-point losses on the road against Washington, 32-point embarrassing losses on the road against the Charlotte Hornets. If they lose the way that they did against Orlando, so be it. They played the right way. They just blew it at the end of the game. If they play the way that they did against Chicago, they'll be okay with those kinds of losses. But it's all about growth internally. Jetty Osman getting moments in crunch time. You know, Colin Sexton continuing to evolve and not picking up bad habits along the way. I think that's the primary goal of this team as they continue on throughout the season, because I think everybody internally recognizes that while playoffs were a goal at the beginning of the season, they were always a long shot, and they're even more of a long shot at this point because they're being without Kevin Love for maybe until January.
Not to sound too absurd here, but with Kevin being out, obviously that changes absolutely everything, because if you thought you had a chance to make the playoffs and that was the goal, you're probably not doing that without your best player, right? And then you lose your coach, and you know, you make a change there, everything changes. Obviously, it's a completely different situation already than what they were hoping for at the beginning of the season. But Chris, here's the weird thing to me. I look at the Eastern Conference right now. Cavs went to Orlando and played a good game against the Magic. Magic are the eighth seed right now. They smoked Charlotte by 24 points, and Charlotte's the seventh seed. And they've played Detroit. They play them again on Monday. We'll see what happens there. But if you look at the teams that are actually in the playoff race right now in the Eastern Conference, the idea that this team could have competed for a playoff spot at the beginning of the season doesn't seem as absurd as it might have before.
Well, that's what they were saying at the beginning of the season. You know, that's why they kind of took the approach that they took. They recognized how bad the bottom half of the Eastern Conference is. You know, coming into this year, I think, guys, you could say that there were probably six solidified playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. And then 7 and 8, you could flip a coin between Miami, Detroit, Charlotte, Orlando. The likes of those teams, you would think on paper the Cavs could compete with them. But I think you pointed it out, Jeff. That kind of went out the window the minute that they lost Kevin.
Yep,
Kevin was the one player that they could not afford to play long stretches without. The offensive focal point, he was supposed to be the leader of the team. That has now moved to Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith because Kevin's not around. He was supposed to be the stabilizing force of this group. He's the lone all-star that they have on the roster. You know, you can play so hard, right, and you can try and do things the right way offensively and defensively, but at the end of the day, if you don't have the talent that's probably going to show up over the course of 48 minutes, maybe not in the first 30, maybe not in the first 36, but it's very, very difficult, guys, for this group to play a full, complete 48-minute game, and their margin for error, because they don't have Kevin, is so small.
Chris, is another goal of this team to get certain veterans or young people or some package together so that by trading deadline or even before they can make a deal?
So coming into this year, Les and Jeff, the Cavs had a number of goals, right? And we talked so much about the playoffs, and that's something that they wanted. And we talked about internal growth, and they wanted to, quote-unquote, overachieve at the beginning of the season. But they also were realistic. Like, it was never a case of we're either going to compete or we're going to blow it up. They felt like they could try and be competitive at the beginning of the season, and if things didn't go their way, they could pivot. And one of the goals that was always part of this equation was trying to reload on assets, because they don't have many. And I think they recognize that they need draft picks, that they need young players on controllable contracts, that they need to position themselves in a positive way that, look, if a disgruntled star becomes available, they can be in the equation because they have this young player and that young player and that draft pick to combine in a big package. But they need to get those assets. And yes, I think they absolutely are willing to trade away Kyle Korver. I think they've been trying to trade away J.R. Smith since June. That's according to a lot of people that I've talked to. Quote, easier said than done, unquote. So, yes, that is part of the goal of this team as they continue throughout the course of this season, is trying to get some kind of value for the guys that don't have a future here on this team.
Chris Fedor joining us from 92.3 The Fan, and of course covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Chris, I've heard multiple people whose basketball thoughts I really respect say completely opposite things when it comes to Kevin down the road. That A, boy, you can move him in a heartbeat, and B, boy, there's no way you can possibly move that guy because of his contract and, you know, his injury situation. What do you think? And do the Cavs have an interest in maybe moving him down the road, or are they thinking this is the guy who we are going to keep here and put Colin Sexton around him and somebody we draft this year and the guy that might be able to come in through the opportunity that you mentioned earlier?
It's that. It's that. That's how they're approaching it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's how they're approaching it. Look, I think they would have to be blown away by an offer to move on from Kevin. And look, this is the NBA. You never say never. A lot of things can change. But they're looking at this situation, and they never looked at Kevin as just a one-year entity of we need him to fight for a playoff spot in 2018-19. It was we want him to be part of this. When we do turn the corner, when we do have the right pieces. So when he's here, we're going to have Colin Sexton growing alongside Kevin. We're going to have X player that we draft growing alongside Kevin. We're going to have Jetty growing alongside Kevin. And the Cavs put a ton of value on that when it comes to Kevin Love, beyond his offense, beyond his rebounding. It's just what he can mean to the future of this group if they keep it together. At the same time, I think he's going to have a market. I think it's going to be a strong market. And I say that because, and look, I know his limitations. I know there are questions about his defense. I know what people say about his contract. But here's the thing. There are teams that have loaded up and created cap room so they can be big-time players in 2019 NBA free agency. But the problem is, not every team is going to get that star that they're trying to get. It's a game of musical chairs for all-stars this offseason, and some, maybe even multiple teams, are going to be left without a seat. So what are they going to do? To try and get the all-star, if they can't get that guy in free agency, they're going to call bad teams that have an all-star that they think could move. And that's where Kevin Love comes into play. That's where the Cavs come into play. I would think for the teams that miss out on the big-time free agents, they're going to call the Cavs and see if they can get Kevin, thinking that he could be that piece that takes them from good team to great team, playoff team to championship contender.
Hey, Chris, can I ask you one more question?
Of course. You can ask me more than one.
Well, I have one that I think I've been working on here for a while. If you're Dan Gilbert and you just sold Greektown in Detroit for about $1 billion, do you go sit in your car and laugh all the way to the bank or just halfway?
No, all the way to the bank and then back home, actually. You left the entire time nonstop.
Okay.
That's incredible to think about the price that he got for that.
Yeah.
Nothing like a profit.
Yeah, I would think.
Chris, thanks, buddy.
You guys got it.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Fedor, PlainDealerCleveland.com, does a great job covering the Cavs, and we love having him with us here on 92.3 The Fan as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.